Welcome to the Battle Cry Podcast with Convention of States Action President Mark Meckler. You can watch the original live broadcast Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Convention of States Facebook and Rumble channels.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Battle Cry. Of course, it's Sunday evening. I'm here with you, your host, Mark Meckler, and I'm excited to be with you. You know, some weeks I'm on the road. I don't get a chance to hang out with you guys on Sunday night, so I especially love it when I'm here and I'm chilling at home and I'm hanging out with you. I really look forward to it every week. So this week, we always do a Battle Cry call to action. This week, I have a very specific call to action for you. We're headed into election time. It's moving in towards the end of the year. And I want to encourage every single one of you. Yeah, I'm talking to you out there sitting at your desk, or maybe you're watching this on the phone, sitting on your couch. I'm talking to you. Go join a campaign. Go join a campaign. Get involved. Look, this is what we have to do as citizens if we want to change the country. You personally need to help elect somebody that's going to do a good job, that's going to represent you. It might be a school board. It could be a city council election. Could be a county election. Maybe it's a statewide legislative or a state legislative election, a statewide election, right? Like AG or Secretary of State or Lieutenant Governor or Governor. Maybe it's a congressional election. Maybe you're even going to get seriously involved in a presidential campaign election. Whatever it is, just telling you, go do it. Now, I know if you're like me, you're thinking, well, I've never done that. I have no idea what to do. I don't know if I have any skills that I could even help. The answer is, doesn't matter that you don't know. There's people like you that join every day, idiots like me that have no idea what we're doing on a campaign. We go down and we make phone calls, we knock on doors, we fold letters, whatever it takes to help somebody get elected to office. Make sure you go out, find a person you believe in and get involved in a campaign. I guarantee you, if all of you do that, maybe even bring along a friend, your husband, your wife, kid, your best friend, do that, we're going to make a difference and we're going to save the country. So this week's Battle Cry call to action, go get involved in a campaign. And I want to hear about it next week, right? So when you put your comments in next week or the week after, I want to hear about your involvement in a campaign. I'd love to hear it. All right, let's start with the way that the left always attacks us and demeans us. And by us, I mean all of us. I mean Americans, right? It's amazing how left-wing politicians hate America and hate Americans, generally speaking. So do you remember bitter clingers from Obama? Like we were all clinging to our, what was our Bibles and our guns? Like, and that was his way of saying, I want your vote, right? Like, hey, you idiot out there in Oklahoma or Iowa or Texas, you're so stupid. You're clinging to your guns and your Bible. Yes, I am, by the way. So you should vote for me because you're all so stupid and deplorable. Oh, wait, deplorable. Deplorable. That sounds familiar. Oh, yeah. Because then we got Hillary Clinton, right? Saying that people like you and me, we all fit in a basket of deplorables. I thought that was an interesting visual, right? All of us together, all cozied up in a basket. I don't know. It's just weird that this is what they do to try to get our votes. And they somehow think that by demeaning 50% or more, and right now I'd say it's more than 50% of the American population, they're going to get our votes. So what's the latest? Well, unbelievably, Nancy Pelosi was over at the Oxford Union, which is a debating society in England. And she was debating a guy who used to play banjo for Mumford & Sons, a band you may never have heard of. And he mopped the floor with Nancy Pelosi. And absolutely, unbelievably mopped the floor with her in every way. And it was really enjoyable to watch. I highly recommend it. But she mopped the floor with herself, too, because here's what she said. We are apparently poor folks who are so stupid because we're blinded by the three G's. You've probably never heard of the three G's. I'd never heard of the three G's. Well, now I know what they are because Nancy Pelosi elucidated the matter for me. She says the three G's are God, gays, and guns. I don't know what that means. Do you know what that means? I have no idea what she's saying. God, I mean, definitely. Hopefully we believe in God and we're Bible-believing folks, and we base our lives around our faith. So, but apparently that makes us, by the way, too stupid to vote for Nancy Pelosi and Democrats. We're blinded by that, right? Blinded to reality by our love of God, our belief in God, our faith in God, our obedience to God. She thinks it makes us blinded to what she says is the truth. And maybe it sort of makes us blinded to voting for evil. Maybe, right? Just as one way of looking at it. So God, second is gays. We're blinded by gays. I'm not sure exactly what she means by that. Maybe she's trying to talk about, she's saying that we're homophobes or something like that. I can tell you sometimes I'm blinded by my rage at the gender ideology being pushed on our children. I can tell you that I'm repelled by voting for Democrats that believe that we should be teaching porn in our kids' schools, that believe that kids should be taking castration drugs, that kids should have their beautiful young bodies, healthy bodies, mutilated bodies created by God. Instead, we should mutilate them, cut their healthy parts off. Yeah, that sometimes blinds me by rage. It certainly blinds me to the possibility of voting for people on the left who would support this stuff. And finally, she says, we're blinded by guns. I'm not sure what that means. I'm blinded by muzzle flash or something like that. I don't think that's what she means. I think what she actually means is that the fact that we believe in the Second Amendment, that we believe in our sacrosanct right to keep and bear arms, our right to self-defense, not only against criminals, but against criminals in the government as well, because we believe in that right, because we believe that the Constitution says that we have that right. It's not just a belief, it actually says it in the Constitution, that we're blinded to voting for Dems who want to take away our guns. So, you know, as I reconsider this, she might be right, because she's saying we can't see the wisdom of what she's saying and leftists are saying because we're blinded by our traditional values, our belief in God, traditional values about family and gender and children, and our beliefs about our right to defend ourselves with our own firearms and our belief in the Second Amendment. I think she's right. I don't usually say that. I don't usually say that Nancy Pelosi is right, but if she believes that all of those things are part of the reasons that we would never vote for the left, she's correct. So I stand corrected. I stand with Nancy Pelosi. We are blinded to voting for her because of our beliefs on all of those things, and I would argue our well-founded beliefs. So another thing happened in politics this week that was absolutely extraordinary to me. President Biden threw down the debate gauntlet. Sort of. It wasn't really that dramatic. He tried to make it that dramatic. He did a 14-second video where he calls out President Trump and challenges him to debate, trying to act like a tough guy. Unbelievably, if you watch this, there are five cuts in a 14-second debate video. If you do the math, that means every three seconds they have to cut the video because he can't go straight through a 15-second video. That seems pretty outrageous to me that he can't make it through 14 or 15 seconds without having the video cut five times. Like, we're going through this, I'll go through this whole thing and I'm doing it live with you guys. We don't have to cut it five times. We don't have to cut it one time because we're just going to go all the way through and talk to you guys live. But the president can't handle that. And he challenged Trump to two debates, but he's got all kinds of rules. Now, this makes Joe Biden, in my opinion, look incredibly weak. And first of all, he would never, ever, never challenge Trump to a debate if he was winning. If he was up 3 points, 5 points, 10 points, zero chance he would get on a debate stage with Trump. And he's been setting us up for a year for not debating Trump by saying Trump's a criminal, Trump's going to be a convicted felon, Trump's an insurrectionist. These were all reasons that he could have, and I think would have used, to not get on a debate stage with Trump. But in this case, what's going on is he knows he's down in all the polls. He knows the economy sucks. He knows the world is on fire, and he knows people are really angry with him. He's upside down, I think, in all of the swing states right now, maybe one, maybe Wisconsin, he's right on the margin, but he's basically upside down in all the swing states across the country. He's upside down. He's way worse off with demographics that he's never had trouble with blacks, with Hispanics, with young white women in the suburbs, the classic soccer mom. He's in trouble, and so he needs something to try and change the momentum. And so he thinks getting into a debate with Trump is going to do it. Now, he has special conditions. This is another thing. If you're winning, you say, I'll debate you anywhere, anyhow, under any circumstances. Don't really care because I'm going to mop the floor with you. And instead, he says, well, we have very special circumstances. We're not going to follow the normal debate rules. We want to be in a studio. We want to have no audience. Why does Joe Biden want no audience? Because he knows they'll laugh at him, because he knows Trump's supporters might be in the room. I think because they know Joe Biden will be confused by audience noise. So he wants it just him and Trump in a room with a moderator. Who are the moderators? Oh, I'm so surprised. they're radical leftists, right? Dana Bash and Jake Tapper. Independent people, of course, right? No, of course not. But look, I think Trump's going to stroll in there, and I think Trump is going to mop the floor with them anyway. There's another rule that's kind of interesting, which is he said they want microphones that get cut off automatically when your speaking time is up. And I think this is to protect Joe Biden from confusion. Donald Trump would be interjecting otherwise all the time, and Joe Biden has trouble maintaining any kind of train of thought whatsoever. With Trump interceding, it would be impossible for him. I actually think this plays even better for Donald Trump. If Donald Trump can sort of control himself, tone himself down 20%, being cut off, not coming across as overbearing or harsh or a jerk is really going to help him here. And I don't think it plays to Joe Biden, because I just don't think Joe Biden can speak into a microphone for any length of time without sounding like an idiot. Now, to be fair, they're going to jack him up on all kinds of drugs, just like they did at the State of the Union. I'm guessing he'll have the questions in advance. They did that for Hillary Clinton, right? So we now know that CNN actually gave her the questions in advance. I'm guessing they're going to give Joe Biden the questions in advance. They won't admit that, but I'm pretty sure they're going to do it. I still think President Trump is going to mop the floor. It's going to be really interesting. Here's one other theory why they might want to do an early debate. They want to do one in June. If he completely crashes and burns, which is plausible, you know, if there's just drool coming out of the corner of his mouth and he's just staring blankly, maybe he falls over, maybe he soils his diapers. I don't know what he does, but let's say he just completely crashes and burns during the debate. It gives them time to replace him before convention. So once convention happens, I think that's late August for the Democrats, then they're stuck with him. So I think this gives them sort of a emergency release valve out. I think it gives him time, he hopes, to change the tempo, the pace, and the direction of the election. I don't think any of it's going to work, but it's going to be super interesting. Make some popcorn, grab some beers. Meanwhile, the culture wars are continuing, and I like this. We are winning the culture wars. Conservatives, traditionalists are winning the culture wars. This time, the culture war has inflamed in the NFL. Already a burning dumpster fire of wokeness that nobody should ever pay any attention to. Nobody should ever spend any money on. And if you are, shame on you. Here's a reason not to. Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker is now kicking butt. And by the way, that's, I think, is his Twitter handle, his X handle is butt kicker. So he is kicking butt, and he's done it by being outrageous. Oh, wait, I think the right word is traditional, not outrageous. Yeah, traditional. He went as an outspoken, staunch Catholic, went to a Catholic university and gave a speech which was consistent with 2,000 years of Catholicism. And the controversy is because of what? The controversy is because the left can't stand it, because he expressed traditional values, because he said point blank that he was pro-life. And he said point blank that we have a president who pretends to be Catholic and is pro-abortion. By the way, I think this is really important. He said pro-choice. I would never call it pro-choice. I think it's pro-abortion. And I think we got to get our language right. Those people are not pro-choice. They are actually now pro-abortion. So he said that. He said that his life is so much richer because his wife decided to be a homemaker and to take care of their kids. He said her life is so much richer because she decided to be a homemaker and take care of the kids and do the most important, most valuable, most satisfying work that any human being can do, which is to raise children. And I would add, by the way, whether you're a husband or a wife or a father or a mother, those are your most important roles. It's not what you do in your career. It's not how much money you make. It's not the company you build. It's not how much influence you have. It's what you do at home in your own family. It's the most important thing. So he spoke those truths to those young men and women at a Catholic university. And for that, the NFL apologized. Kansas City came out and attacked him. And he is now at the center of a white hot controversy. It doesn't appear that he's going to back down. I think this is awesome. It shows that we're winning the culture wars. When you have to attack a guy for just saying traditional things that people have believed for 2,000 years, you're on the losing side of things. Meanwhile, everything's going really well down at the southern border. Really, really, really well. Yeah, not really well. Nothing's going well down at the southern border. I guess it's really well if you like being overrun by Chinese nationals. You know, more Chinese nationals entered illegally in 2 days in April 2024 than entered in the entire year in 2021. There have been over 10,000 Chinese illegals apprehended since October of 2022. Get that number, 10,000 Chinese nationals. And what does the media say about that? What does the government say about that? And they say, move along, nothing to see here. The reality is there's a lot to see here. We should be very worried. We're seeing Chinese nationals, Afghan nationals, people from Islamic terror states coming across our border illegally, being allowed into our country, some of them being gotaways. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend Kurt Schlichter's book, Attack. Really, it'll give you nightmares, but it explains to you what's going to happen in a fictional historical form if we don't stop what's going on at the southern border. And it might be too late already. Kurt would tell you, get ready. Next, in the culture wars, in the political war, I don't even know how you would put this, in the terrorism wars here on the home front, the universities are continuing to melt down and they're continuing to slide into what I call the cesspool of intellectual history, fake history, that is. Harvard specifically, one of the worst out there, and that education is worth nothing today. Frankly, if you get a chance to hire a Harvard grad, they've come out anytime in the last, say, 15 years, don't hire them. They'd be better off as a janitor somewhere, and they're probably not competent to do that. Harvard had comprised a special panel, put together a special panel on anti-Semitism to advise the university. The panel came up with a bunch of recommendations, and Harvard entirely not accepted, ignored all of their recommendations, completely ignored it. Anti-Semitism is running rampant on our college campuses all over the country. No, it's not just anti-Zionism. It's anti-Semitism. Listen to what they're saying. River to the sea means cleanse the entire country of Israel of Jews. It means absolute Holocaust again. And I can tell you as a Jewish Christian, I will say it never again. The U.S. should stand with them. These universities should kick these scum to the curb, kick them out of the universities. And I'll go one step further. They should be in a pictorial database. That way, any employer that's going to hire people who are recently coming out of any of these universities where any of these protests are going on can look in the database and say, oh, look, that person supports Nazis. I probably don't want them in my company. And if they're foreigners and they're here on visas, I don't want them in my country either, and they should be kicked out. Maybe we could even go further. I saw there was a bill introduced in the House of Representatives. I don't know if it's necessarily constitutional, but I like the idea anyway. It's kind of funny, and I would want to do it. Take any of these students that are protesting on behalf of Palestine or Hamas, in other words, on behalf of the Nazi terrorists, and send them to Gaza. I mean, I don't even care if you send them to an active war zone. Why don't you just send them to Syria? Send them to Lebanon. Send them to Iraq. Send them to Iran. Anywhere where they would have to live under Islamic fundamentalists, because none of these young people would survive 5 minutes over there. So I just think we ought to pay attention to what's going on in these universities. I think we're winning the narrative in those universities. I know it's really bad, but I would add that it's really good as well, because things are changing in the culture. And when you look at the way things are changing, everything's starting to flip our way. So be encouraged. I'm very encouraged. One of the reasons I'm so encouraged also is I was on the road this week. I was in North Carolina. I was at the state legislature. If you want to see some great pictures of that, go to conventionofstates.com. One of the coolest things that happened, we had a rally out in what's called the Halifax Mall. Rick Santorum was there. Mike Ferris was there. Probably 250 of our grassroots activists were there. Some of the legislators came out to meet us. We went inside, got a chance to lobby some of the legislators. But the absolute highlight, maybe producer G can show you on the screen, was the Liberty Llama. Every time we go to North Carolina, we're there on the Halifax Mall. One of our great volunteers brings one of his great, well-trained llamas dressed up in red, white, and blue called the Liberty Llama. I think his actual name is Reepa Cheap. I've met him many years in a row, and go there, and we all got kisses from the llama. I know that's the kind of thing you're not supposed to do when you're in politics. Very embarrassing to have a llama kissing you on the face, but it happened. I'm just telling you, I'm being honest with you. It was great. I think there's a lot of momentum there in North Carolina. We've already passed the House, pending in the Senate. I think we're going to get it done in the Senate year. That'll be state number 20. We get it done this year. Next week, coming up next week, I'm not traveling anywhere. Well, I am traveling, I think, to San Antonio. So just a few hours drive from here. It is the Republican Party of Texas convention. I'm going. I decided to run in my precinct. So I'm representing my precinct and then my county. I ran at the county level. So I got appointed as a delegate from the county. So wild. I've never been to one of these conventions. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm getting trained up by some of our folks, so I have some idea what I'm doing. But if you've ever wondered what's it like to go to a party convention, well, try it. It's a little scary. It's a little disorienting because I have no idea what I'm doing. So if you think you can't do it, then just look at me because I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm doing it anyway. So go to your convention, right? Become a precinct chair, get involved in your county committees, and then go to convention and represent the local folks there at your statewide convention. I think that's a really important, good thing you can do. In addition to remember what we said, the battle cry call to action was get involved in campaigns. All right, let's go to Ask Mark Anything. You can put in questions at conventionofstatescott.com/askmark. Biff Tannen says, how many of these protesters are getting paid by Marxists? Where are the pre-printed signs coming from? Well, we know in a lot of these protests, when the arrests happen, half of them, it looks like, are paid protesters, or at least outside agitators. Where are they getting paid from? I think they're getting paid from leftist groups. I think the money is very traceable. And I think that once Trump takes over, that the DOJ ought to investigate all of these groups. I think they ought to go in, they ought to seize their records. These groups are now supporting terrorism, supporting groups that support terrorism inside the USA. That's not allowed. We ought to go in, seize their records, take a look. Let's find out exactly who these people are and who they're supported by and how much money is going. And then let's prosecute where it's appropriate. Dojo Chuck asks, how about reinstating states' control over the Senate? Amen, Dojo Chuck. So what Chuck is talking about is the 17th Amendment gave you the right to elect your senator by direct election. But the way it was intended to be is the states were intended to appoint their senators. That way states had a voice in Washington, D.C., and mostly their voice was used to say no to Washington, D.C. We changed that with the 17th Amendment. I believe that was a mistake, and we should repeal the 17th Amendment. So I'm with 17th Amendment. So I'm with you, Dojo Chuck. All right, we've got a few things we want to promote before we close out today. First of all is whitelisting. Look, a lot of email comes into your email box every day, and you don't pay attention to the stuff that gets spammed, right? That goes into your spam box. You just think, oh, that's all garbage. Sometimes it's convention of state stuff because big tech doesn't want you to know. Big tech doesn't want you to know about conservative things. And so while the marketing emails for the fake ED pills or whatever go into your inbox, stuff from convention of states or other good conservative orgs doesn't. So what we want you to do is make sure you're whitelisting our emails. Go to conventionofstates.com/whitelist to learn more. Again, conventionofstates.com/whitelist. To make sure you're getting our emails. Number two, make sure you are subscribing to our weekly brief, our COS news, and our local updates so that we can keep you in the loop. And then number three, remember every week, the Groundbreakers podcast, it premiered this last weekend. Listen for tips that are going to make you an effective citizen. And what Mike Ruthenberg is doing is he's going out and he's interviewing the best activists from all over the country. Remember, there are millions of you. That means the best are absolutely incredible, and you're going to hear some amazing stories. If you want to hear more of those stories, activists on the ground, breaking ground, doing incredible things, go to conventionofstates.com/groundbreakers with Mike Ruthenberg and hear the stories from the grassroots. I think you are the best grassroots in the nation. We're glad to have you on board with us. If you haven't signed up before, go to conventionofstates.com, sign the petition, click the Take Action tab, get involved, and I'll see you next week right here on The Battle Cry.
This has been the podcast version of The Battle Cry with Mark Meckler. Visit conventionofstates.com/pod to learn more. Thank you for listening.